sonically, we're doomed to the Goomba. When we jump, Marionically, it's ethereal. I'm immaterial. Someday my face will be seen on a box of cereal.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Here I am. I'm
What's
back.
What's going on?
Jim's gone, finally. Poor Jim. We invited him down on the nicest day of the year, and then we kept him all afternoon in a suit, kind of in that warm studio in the Shaw. Jim Santel, our good friend, a fine former prosecutor. I don't know if you heard me say it. He is probably the only prosecutor who does not refer to me as defendant. And now we got Maggie Dawn live in the Shaw in studio with Dominic with Fancy Brian. Maggie Dawn, welcome back. Last time I saw you, I was minding my P's and Q's because I was afraid you were going to throat punch me.
That kind of a week last week.
Yes. Today, though, I see you've got a little choice down there, a little Minocqua Brewing Company choice hard seltzer in the studio. Not sure. You, but I see Fancy Brian drinking. Very masculine choice, Fancy.
Courtesy of Mr. Haas. He says if you take the choice hard seltzer, put a couple ice cubes in it, fill up a half a glass, and then add in the Biden beer on top of that, you have a really nice Radler. It works really well.
I prefer a Kobe Bryant triple double. Maggie Dawn, I hope you've got a beverage.
I'm just sitting here listening to you nerds.
Tell me more about your drink cocktail.
Maggie, can I pick the topic, the first topic?
I mean, I didn't know you were going to be here, so I mean, I guess. Go ahead, Curtie.
Sure.
You start.
Maggie, here's my first question of you. State-level politics right here in the great state of Wisconsin. We now have the smoking gun. Scott Walker, the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, communicating in written form with Fred Preen when the conspiracy is hatched for Preen to perhaps illegally retain his seat on the Department of Natural Resources Board. And why? He lays out the politics. His actions have demonstrated the why. But the conspiracy includes the former governor when Scott Walker doing a perp walk. Maggie Dawn, am I being hyperbolic on a Friday afternoon?
Yeah, welcome,
friends,
Maggie.
And beverages.
It's pretty bad, but like, is this news? No, we all understood exactly what that was.
It's kind of news. It's new.
Well, that there's
plus
evidence
an S
of what
on
we
the
all,
end, so it's news.
I mean, it just confirms what everyone knew had clearly happened. I mean, it's
I
sort
didn't
of like,
know.
Yes, the emperor has no clothes, indeed.
Well, yeah, but this is 2 years afterwards. And if you note the timing of the communication between Scott Walker and Preen, this is after Donald Trump lost the election of 2020. This is 2 years after Scott Walker's out of the governor's mansion. And after, you know, Joe Biden has won the election, but all the Trumpsters are firing up for a little insurrection. So, you know, it's a little fascism. But
yes.
Is it? In your opinion, Counselor, criminal conspiracy, tell me yes. Make my weekend.
It's Friday at, 5:30? Yes.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to hear.
I mean, it would be one thing if Walker was still in state
office.
House. Right? I mean,
yes.
He's 2 years out, you know, fired
it's
from
egregious.
A job.
It is egregious.
It is egregious. But what
Walker's not out of politics, I would point out. Walker has every ambition to run for president again, and he's in the campaign.
He's not in politics right now.
Structure
I mean, if you're going to talk about a conspiracy.
Wait. No, he's running that, like, dippy
Young
Republican
America's Foundation.
Young Nazis.
Getting paid.
Yeah, the young white supremacists.
So, okay, but if you're going to talk about some sort of conspiracy or corruption, you know, Preen not leaving the board and communicating with the guy who's been fired from the office 2 years later. You
it's
know,
corrupt.
What is Scott Walker, what is his input on this whole thing?
Oh, yeah, like, why does Scott's thoughts on this matter? I
so
like
what?
That question.
I mean, it'd
totally.
Be one thing if he was asking Robin Voss or some other elected officials.
But he was asking other elected officials, are you guys down for this plan? And they apparently were saying yes.
Yes, right.
The conspiracy extended beyond the former governor to the current legislative body.
We knew that.
Well, we sure, but when you put it all together, it sounds kind of bad.
It is. I love the way you set it up, Mike, right? By saying there's the actual insurrection that's happening, right? And that entire conspiracy. And this is like our little Wisconsin governance equivalent, you know, corruption insurrection, which is basically what he did, right? I mean, like, yeah, I'm just going to overstay my term, refuse to step down, and rob this governor of his, you know, lawful right to appoint who he wants.
Couldn't they just change the locks and boot him out and ship him his box of goods? I mean,
just shut his email down. That's what I would have done. If I was the AG or was advising the governor, that's exactly what I would have done, is change the locks, turn off all of his access, don't let him get online. You can shut all that down.
Right. Yeah, you're still on the board, but you get no access. Yes. You get nothing.
And
so
don't
good
count
luck with
his
that.
Vote.
Right.
Totally.
Turn off his power and turn up the heat. No AC for you. Folks, that is Maggie Dawn. She's Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. She's our good friend. Friend of the devil, although, Maggie, I got to admit, we used to sprinkle that term around liberally. Now we're more guarded with it.
You would be a shrinking group. You would be in good company with a former Milwaukee County supervisor who actually said to me during a hearing, "Madam, you speak with a forked tongue." I had to stop, and I was like, "I'm sorry. What'd you just say to me? Like, did you just call me the devil because I gave you legal advice that you don't like?" Yeah, that was a good day in government. Let me just leave it there.
Speak with forked tongue, woman.
Right.
Wow. Maggie, let me ask you. The actions of the lame duck, specifically as they regard the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, as fate would have it, Josh Call, a Democrat, not Brad Schimmel, and the action of the state legislature to basically force the AG, and Scott Walker signed off on this as he was on his way out the door at the end of the voters' foot. But Scott Walker signed the lame duck, and part of the lame duck was you couldn't make legal agreements. And you've got to be affected by this, Maggie Dawn, is a corporate counsel for the Milwaukee County. But they are forcing the Attorney General to negotiate every settlement, not directly with the plaintiff or the defendant, but in this case, with the JFC, the Joint Finance Committee, overwhelmingly controlled by the Republicans. And the courts in Dane County, at least the district court level, said unconstitutional. And I think to myself, yeah, till it gets to the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Of course, right? And that'll last for how long? Like 5 minutes?
Well, I'm sure
there'll be a petition to have the Supreme Court take it up directly, right? I mean,
well, you
got to
hurry up
coming.
And do it, because next spring there's an election and conservatives could lose control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
From your lips to God's ears. Did you happen, not to tangent, but did you happen to catch the article about the guy that was kicked out right before Hagedorn took his seat, calling him a supreme disappointment?
Oh, you mean Dan Kelly?
Dan Kelly, yes.
Defeated by only 163,000 votes in a spring election?
Squeaker. He just,
and he was
man,
the incumbent.
That one must burn.
By virtue of Scotty Wanker's appointment, Dan Kelly was the incumbent. He got to call himself Justice, soon to be loser, Dan Kelly.
Yeah, I thought, wow. Because let's be honest, there's sort of the political face of these court elections, right? But we all hope, and most of the lawyers, I think, to ourselves, most of the folks on the bench are trying to do like a good and balanced job. The exception has become the Supreme Court, right? And here you have young Brian Hagedorn, naive as the day is long, thinking he's going to be able to get reelected by basically doing the best job he can with some integrity. And he's going to be out on his ear. I mean, right?
Well, Hagedorn's got 8 more years. I'm not worried about Hagedorn's future on the judiciary. And I admire what Hagedorn's done from
that's
the perspective
my whole point.
That he was Scott Walker's crafter of the Act 10. He is clearly a partisan, or was in his prior role. And the fact that he has moved beyond partisanship in most or some cases is clearly different than Rogan staff.
Absolutely.
He's different than the conservatives.
Yes, absolutely. You can see that in some of these decisions, right? Big decisions where he's been the deciding vote. And here you've got Dan Kelly, just lost that one by a hair, you know, calling him out. It's just so unbecoming of Dan. I know him. Not well, but he's a very smart guy. And it just...
He seems sort contemptuously of like, smart. Like, he knows he's smarter than you, and he's going to look down his oversized, you know, nose and jowls at you. That's my impression of the man.
I will let that stand.
I mean, folks, we are the devil's advocates. That's Crudy. That's Maggie Dahl, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. I guess let's stick with the local. We'll get to some of the national stuff.
I had a Gableman crack coming too, but please go on.
Oh, don't even get me going on Gableman. City of Milwaukee, Maggie, and you've had some things to say about the city attorney, Tierman Spencer. My understanding, based on the reporting, lots of turnover in that office. Well, he's like the attorney for the city, like you're the attorney for the county, right? You kind of have similar kind of jobs, right?
Yep.
And he's been saddled with high turnover since he's taken office in Milwaukee. And now, somewhat sexual harassment complaints as well. And now he's come out with a dress code to address the problem of him harassing people because he sees their ankle. I don't want to put words in his mouth, Maggie, but you were very public, and there's an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel with your response. Maggie, I'd like to give you the floor. What's the problem with Tierman's, you know, dress code?
So there's nothing wrong with any boss putting a dress code in place. Of course, that's his prerogative. I worked in the city attorney's office. I run the companion office for the county. This is not an issue, folks. Like, your government lawyers are really showing up in some risque outfits, you know.
Please?
Right? I mean, come on.
Yes, but some are easily tempted, perhaps like the city attorney, Tierman Spencer, who's had a few allegations cast his way.
It's just such a bad look, and I feel for him to an extent. Like, he's flailing about, and just it's a series of sort of unfortunate decisions. And you would hope that there might be someone around him to say, you know, like, if you really want to do this dress code, like, maybe let's wait until the sexual harassment complaints have been litigated, right? Because this might not land quite as you intend.
Well, maybe he's looking at it as, like, you know, going into alcohol and drug treatment, you know, before going to the judge for the DUI. You know, he's trying to see, I may have done some things, but now there's not going to be any cleavage. I mean, literally cleavage is mentioned in the dress code.
So the most important thing about this is that the dress code it ostensibly applies to both sexes, but there is this laundry list of the things that women shall not wear or do or say or be. You know, like, it actually, the word cleavage appears. Now, I've worked in some of the largest law firms in the world. They had dress codes, of course, and they were actually enforced. And the word cleavage never appeared of them.
No.
Yeah, really
is it,
funny.
Is cleavage a legal term?
Right. Do you mean that?
I think that
sense?
Technically, Fancy Brian and I, between us, could generate some cleavage.
I'll also leave that where
I just did some bench pressing today. I could do some. I'm okay, man. You know,
look, not just cleavage. It specifies skirt length and says that women can't wear open-toed shoes.
I'm down for the no open-toed shoes.
I mean, did you see Marjorie Taylor Greene's feet, man? I mean, who wants open-toed shoes?
Well, that was my whole point. I was like, well, maybe you actually want to say, like, if you have good feet, C.1A. If you have terrible feet, then the rule is 1B.
Like a float chart. You know?
Right,
yeah,
right.
But Dominic wore flip-flops to the office for years. And I try to set that flip-flops are the shoes that prepare you for absolutely nothing life could throw at you.
Are you kidding me?
You're prepared for nothing life could
throw at you. I got boxers, a pair of shorts, a t-shirt, a hat, and flip-flops on. I can get naked in like 6 seconds.
I got to go with Mike on this one. Like, flip-flops prepare you for nothing in this world. That's why they put a bottle opener on the bottom of some of them.
Maggie, I got to tell you, my good friend Dominic has worn flip-flops to press conferences before.
I believe that.
Well,
yes.
That's because Tierman Spencer didn't make a dress code for me. I mean,
if a man's not there to tell me what to wear, I'm just going to be mystified every morning.
I know, but otherwise,
the one we were at with John Podesta, Dom's snifter full of tequila was something of a tell.
I mean, it seemed logical. We're talking weed policy. I mean, you know, you got a problem with the weed?
It's on
the
moments.
I mean,
yeah,
they were formal sandals.
You were talking,
baby.
It was
Vegas.
His church sandals, man.
Made from leather.
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocate. She is Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel Maggie Dawn. The rest of us have cleavage.
Wait a minute. Did you just call my boob small on the radio?
Do you know who I am?
What do you say we go out on a date? Have some chicken, maybe some sex. You know, see what happens.
What is that smell?
Don't act like you're not impressed.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of this Friday happy, happy hour. You can join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I feel like this has been the best political party of the week. Bill Press, James Santel, Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. She's in the Shaw right now with you and Fancy Brian. And of course, CJ sitting on hold just doing... like a frog in a pot. Just stew there, CJ. If you're patient enough, I'm sure we'll get to
it. We probably.
No, I kind of want to hear this. Like, oh, please.
Oh, you want to hear it? Oh,
yes.
Maggie's down. All right, Maggie, you are the guest of honor, so your will shall be done. CJ, welcome to the Devil's Advocates with Maggie Dawn. What do you got for us today?
Well, nice to meet you, Maggie.
Hey there.
You know, as I'm listening to you, you haven't discussed special counsel John Durham, because his court case is starting on Monday, and I'm sure Mike Crudy, you'll cover that, won't you?
That's because the Sussman. So I told now. You I absolutely will cover it, the exoneration of Sussman.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Good luck to you and the special prosecutor assigned under Bill Barr and Donald Trump, who's still on a witch hunt for Joe Biden. And next, he's going after Hunter's laptop.
Do you care whether him and his associates visited Obama's White House 27 times? Do you care?
Do you care how many times Don Jr. and the daughters were in the White House? CJ, are you consistent about that with Trump?
Yes.
So you have a problem with the Trump kids making money off of their dad in the White House?
Problem is, their case hasn't gone forward, and you're hoping in one hand and a scoop of Merrick Garland in the other, but this
what?
Case is going forward because it's justified.
Do you have a specific question for Maggie Dawn, CJ?
CJ, let me just say, you are being just a skosh clever with that Merrick Garland statement, but go ahead.
Maggie, do you have any comment on the Durham investigation for our pal CJ?
Nope, that's not what we were talking about, but thanks, buddy.
All right. CJ, thanks for the call.
Have a great weekend, CJ.
967-27.
Glad you held.
I must be right. Thanks, CJ.
He called the poop.
All right, Maggie, let me throw this out there. The big news, I think, this week was the J6 coming down and doing this five subpoenas for Republican congressional members, of one of them, of course, being McCarthy. I want to get your sense of, we were looking at the New York Times article, and there's some clause in the Constitution with regards to the senators and representatives, specifically, quote, according to the Times, that they shall not be questioned in any other place, quote, unquote, about any speech or debate in either chamber. The Times reports that it's been broadly interpreted to cover all legislative actions, not just words. On its face, however, that clause is limited to questioning them in other places like courtrooms. Now, you know, there's been some reporting that this might be something that they're going to try to hide behind, right? They're up there saying, well, this is, you know, this is a witch hunt, but you could say that. But really the question is this a legitimate committee? Is the subpoena legitimate? And what is their legal defense for not showing up and complying with a lawful subpoena?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mind teaser, isn't it? So, let's get this straight. You were discussing treason, yes? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, because you're an elected official, a Senate committee, excuse me, a House committee of legitimate jurisdiction magically now can't question you about that. It's potential criminal activity.
Sign on with the devil.
Bingo. Thank you very much, Donald. I mean, this just makes no sense. And there's a number of these different sort of, you really wouldn't even call them immunities. What they are is temporal restrictions on when Congress people can be effectively like arrested and questioned about their legislative activity. And it's specifically designed effectively to prevent a vindictive president. I'm having a hard time.
I mean, just to say like the last guy, for example.
Right, right.
I mean, the
orange guy. Yes.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That
a vindictive
guy.
President from literally pretextually arresting members of Congress so as to impact a pending vote.
So Joe Biden under this could not arrest Joe Manchin. And
stop being a dummy
and just keep him from casting a vote. If you're detained, you can't make the floor.
Right.
It's for that kind of thing,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It has absolutely no historical application to these kinds of facts. And any person with two gray cells to rub together, I'm talking to you, Jim Jordan, should know that, right? But this is just another smokescreen, just as if and just as like the Republicans after the Roe v. Wade overturned SCOTUS decision leaked, wanted to talk about how all Americans support restrictions on abortion. Not the fact that their carefully architected multi-decade plan to remove the right to an abortion worked. They didn't want to talk about that because that's not popular. So too here, right? Why are they talking about this antiquated rule? Because they don't want to talk about what they would actually have to talk about if they showed up to give testimony to the committee. I mean, it's really ridiculous. And here we are talking about that, not about what the content of their testimony would have been.
Hey, Maggie Dawn, one last important question I'd like to think. I asked it of Harvey K. the other day. What's the best way to save democracy?
Wow. Stack the court.
Stack the court. That's a bold move.
Right? I mean, you're seeing just a complete perversion of what was intended. Right? You have basically two illegitimate Supreme Court judges right now. And that makes all the difference. Right? Oh, and also, let's not forget, two sexual assault or harasser types, too. Like, isn't that lovely? I think the court, it completely lacks any institutional legitimacy right now and doesn't reflect the overall views and current moment of American culture, what the majority of us think about things. It doesn't resemble us at all.
But wouldn't some of the originalists and those would say, well, we can't move too fast. I mean, if we move too fast, people get upset. And, you know, change has to come slowly. And so when we have these lifetime appointments, it's a drag on the progress that you people would want.
Well, I actually think it's a great way to back into that solution, right? Which is you limit Supreme Court justices to like a 10-year or a 12-year term, right? That will ensure that you don't have some sort of inappropriate maneuvering as what happened at the end of President Obama's term.
Now,
what if
like one of the spouses of a Supreme Court justice is involved in an insurrection, for example?
I'm looking at you, Clarence Thomas. I mean, how is this not a massive ethical problem? And so, yes, Tom, that, of course, is one of the other important reforms that our Article III judges need, and that is an enforced code of ethics when there are conflicts.
Bill Press, our fine guest earlier. Jim Santel, our fine guest in the 4 o'clock hour. Maggie Dawn in the Shaw. Thank you all. Thank you, Fancy Brian. Thank you, Dominic. Thank you, Evan. Thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll do it for you again on Monday.
Go, Bucks and Six.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Sign on with the devil.
Don't mess with the devil, buddy. We're number one. We beat anybody. We're the devil!